I'm pretty excited this morning as to what God is going to do in our midst. I'm going to be speaking about encounter. We've had prophetic words brought to us, encouraging us about where we are with God, but also a specific prophetic word that we shared later on in the morning about us being touched by God today at this point. That was my pre-introduction. Now my introduction. This week, we learnt that His Royal Highness Prince Philip is withdrawing from public life, which is sad news, but understandable. There has been much in the press concerning some of his famous sayings. And I saw a list of nearly 100. And I thought, what a great way to start the meeting off by sharing some of these wonderful phrases that Prince Philip has said in these last few years. But I was also aware that I didn't want to offend anyone in such a church setting as this. So let's turn to Genesis 32. We are going to continue our journey in Genesis. I'm looking at Jacob. Last week we started looking at him. And this morning we're focusing on a story of him wrestling with God. But it's important to understand what's happening in that moment is to understand what's happened before. So just very briefly, he was born the second of twins with his brother Esau. When they were born, he grabbed his brother's heel as he came out. So he was called Jacob, which means grabber or deceiver. And it's very common in those days that the name of the person reflected their character. And that's certainly what happened with Jacob. He was a great deceiver. His mother was told before they were born that there were two nations in her womb. And that the older son would end up serving the younger son, which is the unnatural way of doing it. So Esau, his brother, was tricked by Jacob in selling his birthright for some stew. And then Jacob tricks their dad Isaac into giving him the blessing that was due to his older brother. And this upset Esau slightly. In fact, he wanted to kill his brother. So Rebekah, his mother, helped him flee to her uncle Laban for his own safety. And there he met his match in deceivers. Because he swindled him, switched wives, changed his wages, and he's tricked by Laban. And after 20-odd years, God tells him to go back to his people. So he takes advantage of Laban being away and takes all his family, all his goods, and escapes. And he's pursued more or less over the whole of the Middle East by Laban to get these things back. When they finally meet up, there's a truce. But no longer is that resolved, then Jacob now has to face his brother, who when he last saw him, wanted to kill him. And that's where we come to this story in Genesis 32. So if I help me come up on the screen now, Genesis 32, verses 22 onwards. Make it a bit bigger for people. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it's daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I'll not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It's because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Father God, we just ask that as we consider this story, as we consider what you're speaking to us about this morning, that each person here is able to have an encounter with you. Each person is touched, affected, and changed through that encounter. We ask that in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So after all this racing around, all these challenges, Jacob is left totally alone. He's crossed the river, sent people away, he's by himself. All his life, he had been living by his wits. He had been a great mother's boy, and he'd tricked and taken advantage of people all his life. He hopes now that he has successfully escaped from his father-in-law, but ahead of him is his estranged brother bearing down on him with 400 men. That's all he knows about it. He has reached now his lowest point. He is full of despair. He's trying all he humanly can to save himself, his flocks, his family. And then he gets mugged. A man, so he thinks, gets the jump on him and wrestles with him all night long. Something to bear in mind here is Jacob's age at this time. With careful reading of the whole book of Genesis and comparing life stages and dates and ages and things, or by using Google, we learn that Jacob is in his 90s at this point in his life. When you quickly read the story, I've always thought it's kind of a young man going in, but in his 90s, if you go through his story and chronology. So a wrestling match with a 90-year-old conjures up a slightly different picture in our minds, perhaps. And it's a strange encounter. They wrestle all night. No one wins, yet at the end, the man, angel, God, just dislocates his hip. And you wonder, why couldn't he have done that at the beginning? But the driving force here is what's happening with Jacob himself. He is having a desire, a tenacity to be blessed. It seems that after all his wheeling and dealing, all his self-sufficiently relying on himself, he's now got at his lowest point, and in recognition he realizes he needs God and God's strength for him. He needs God so badly he won't let go of this God he is wrestling with. The greater always blesses the lesser. And it is a final admission of Jacob's submission to God as God blesses him. And he was so changed by this encounter with the living God. He was changed in a number of different ways. He was firstly changed physically. He was lamed. Jacob walked with a limp for the rest of his life. And we read about Jacob in Hebrews 11, that great list of the heroes of the faith. I mean, it says that as he blessed Joseph's sons, at the end of his life, he was leaning on a stick. All his life, he carried with him a reminder of his final submission to God. Secondly, he had a different relationship with God. Before this encounter, we read in Genesis 28, which followed this dream of this stairway to heaven, he prayed a rather weak conditional prayer in Genesis 28, and it says, if God will be with me and will watch over me, then the Lord will be my God. He's praying a very conditional prayer. If this happens, then God will be my Lord. After this encounter, in Genesis 33, we read of a different circumstance where he sets up an altar, Genesis 33:20, and he set up an altar and called it El Elohi Israel. Now my Hebrew is not brilliant, but fortunately there's a footnote in your Bibles, and El Elohi Israel means the God of Israel. He is now Israel. And he sets up a marker to say, this is the God of Israel. This is my God. In that encounter, something has changed within Jacob. He's gone from the God of my fathers to now he is my God, the God of Israel. And thirdly, he has got a different name. He is renamed by the one who remains nameless. And rather than Jacob, the grabber, the deceiver, he is now to be called Israel, meaning he struggles with God. And this change in name is recognition of a change in character that's now happening with Jacob. And we'll see as we continue through Genesis, it's from this Jacob / Israel that we get the 12 sons who become the 12 tribes of Israel. And it's at this point in the story, the biblical story, where we're switching from individuals to a nation. Israel being born with the promises of God of going forward with him. And we see through this story just how important it is to encounter God. It's a time where God can seriously change us and can develop us. Just as he did with Jacob through this wrestling match. As Christians today, we are in such a privileged position. We're reminded of that as we sing those great hymns together of what God has done for us. We can now encounter God every day, and we can encounter God anywhere. We don't have to go to special times, places, or see special people, or go on pilgrimage. We can encounter God wherever we are. Day by day, we can pray, we can read his word, we can worship. Week by week, we can gather together in a setting like this. Gather together in our MCOMs, where gifts that he has provided for the church to come together help us in our worship of him. But we can also create some special times, intentionally do something to encounter God. And you may have a variety of different ways that you do this. It could be that you find just for you visiting somewhere, a particular walk or a river or a bridge or Holy Island or some place that you find that's a really great place where you find if you go there, you can encounter God in that place. You're being intentional about it. Some people really enjoy fasting. Some people really enjoy going to one of our burn events where we can give the whole evening to kind of free structure just to worship, or not free structure, no structure, to kind of worship God and encounter him in that way. As a church, we have encounter nights. Well, we used to. We changed the name to Emmanuel Celebrations recently. But we are putting special events on where we can intentionally make a decision to encounter God in those in that moment. And there are other times where we can encounter God. Sometimes it can be in times of distress, times of turmoil, times of hardship in your life. I look back to many, many years ago, probably about 20 years ago, we had a lady in our church. She was involved in a horrific car accident while she was traveling down to Teesside. News filled us back during that daytime. She was in a coma. She was airlifted out of that situation, intensive care. We did not know whether she would live or die in those first few hours. And I can remember hearing that news and going around to a friend's house. And I still today feel that was one of the closest times I've ever been with God, where we were both just weeping and reaching out to God for our friend who we didn't know what was going to happen. Praise God, she made a complete and total recovery from that amazing situation. But there are times God puts us into sometimes where we just have that encounter. God comes in those points. And there could be some very natural stages in our life that we go through. It could be baptism, when you get baptized. It could be marriage. It could be retirement, where we can really take stock of situations in our life and really being intentional about encountering God, this time of transition in my life, Lord, what are you going to do? What do you want to lead me into now for taking me forward for this times ahead? So we can encounter day by day. We can encounter week by week. We can create special times. And sometimes we experience special times as well. And I believe that God wants that encounter sometimes more than we do. In our prayer meeting beforehand this morning, someone brought a word about God, that the story of the prodigal son. When the father was waiting for the prodigal return, he sees the prodigal coming back. He picks up his clothes and runs with arms open wide to embrace this prodigal son who's now returned to him. That's the picture of God I have. Of one, if I take a step towards him, he comes rushing to meet me, to engage in that process with arms open wide. And as Lindsay so powerfully reminded us this morning, he can do that wherever you are today. You don't have to get yourself into this idea of what a Christian should look like. God is able to meet with you wherever you are, whether you even count yourself a Christian. Today, God is able to meet with you where you are. And sometimes, how much do we really want things from God? How often have we prayed for something and then moved on? How many times have we actually tried to wrestle with certain issues and be persistent in our prayer and not give up? Like Jacob did, until God has spoken, until God has blessed. It's not always instant that we get our prayers answered. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. But it's in that process of persistence, in that process of praying, that God can actually answer your prayers. Maybe you're praying for patience and you give up too quickly. But it's in that praying, in that persistence, God will begin to change your character of growing in patience. And one thing that we can certainly pick up as we go through Genesis and look at some of these great characters is God's timing in these situations. We so often want things done in an instant, whereas God looks at the whole of your life and takes years and years sometimes over things and develops people because he's creating us to be that person that he wants us to be. And we are changed in that encounter that we have with God, just as Jacob was changed in that encounter. Whether that's the first point of submission to God or whether you've come to him many times, as you come afresh to him and lay things down before him, submit afresh to him, he is able to come and bring change within in you. You too get a new name. It's not like the Catholics who choose a different name when they get baptized, but rather we take up the name of Jesus as we become Christians. And we go out with a new name as Christians. We go forth carrying that name of Christ with us to effect change into the world that he's put us into. We're also affected in our behaviors. There are things that we may have done before we became Christians that we have absolutely no desire to do anymore. And sometimes it can be an instant thing that someone becomes a Christian and they stop a particular habit that they have or a particular unwholesome behavior. Sometimes it can take some time for that to come around, but God is able to change us in our behaviors as well. And relationship with God also changes. We are now able to call upon Abba, Father, which speaks of such an intimate, loving, caring relationship with our God, our Father. And he loves us. He wants to change us so that we can bear fruit and glorify him. And as a community, we have been recently asked to engage with God, to wrestle with him over our new adventure of being the ones to accommodate the growth in the number of people that he has given us as a community here. We have a fresh opportunity to invest in the future, to change the legacy of this church as we start out on that journey, as we consider whether to purchase the unit across the road there, to enlarge the place of our tent here in Durham. Some of us went on that adventure starting 10 years ago, which led to this place here, the Durham Centre. It was an amazing time. We saw prayers answered. We saw faith raised. We saw the church strengthened in unity. But it was also a difficult time as sacrificial giving was done. Sacrificial giving involves loss. It's going without. But we were inspired because we were investing. We were sowing seed into a future which we could not see at the time, and a future we believe would bring a harvest. And there are those of you here now who have come here since we have opened the Durham Centre. You are the fruit of those seeds that we gave into, we planted all those years ago. Now, sadly, you weren't part of that adventure. You didn't have those same stories that many of us have, that faith adventure as we went through. But you do have that opportunity now. So as we begin to push the door, which is already beginning to open for us, which has already been an answer to prayer, if God does lead us down that path, we have an opportunity to sow seed that over the years will develop fruit in this place. We'll see lives transformed in this place. We'll make Jesus famous in this place as we expand and get bigger. So I want to encourage you. We were asked of that 2 weeks ago when we launched it. Please continue to pray. Please continue to encounter God in your prayers for this adventure. We had a great time yesterday morning at our prayer breakfast. On Wednesday evening, we have our church members meeting, where if you're a church member, we're going to be praying together. We'll be sharing the vision, the details, and we'll be answering questions on that evening as well. And as elders, we also want to put in another opportunity to encounter God, to be intentional and to show our commitment to him as we seek him for the future of our church as we go forward and what legacy we are going to leave for future generations. So as elders, we want to call the church to a day of prayer and fasting next Friday. We would ask you to join us if you are able and willing to fast in a meaningful way, a way that's meaningful to you, and to pray specifically during that time regarding the future of our church. Experience has shown that it's always good to gather together during these times. So what we're going to do is to arrange for everyone to come together on a Friday evening here between 6:30 and 8 o'clock. We've designed that in the early evening. We designed that because that's when Ignite is on, so parents can drop kids off and we can come in here and we can pray together and worship together, really seeking after God's face and his future for us. Now, I don't have time today to talk in detail about fasting. For those of you who have never done it before, and maybe others who would like to just hear afresh some teaching on that to get your faith strengthened, can I ask that you listen to a sermon that we did in May 2010, I've asked Mark to repost it onto our website. It's easy to find. It's on our news section, but it's probably easiest to find if you just search, go into our website, www.emmanuel.org.uk, and find the search menu and just type in fasting sermon. That sermon will come up, and it was Andrew Westerman, 7 years ago, speaking about fasting. And that will, if you haven't done it before, can explain some things about fasting. But if you haven't done it recently or want to just get fresh faith, fresh perspective, I would encourage you to listen to that so that we can be ready together. So this Friday, 6:30 to 8 o'clock here, we're asking people to consider to pray and fast with the elders of the church here as we seek together the future for what God has in store for us. It's wonderful to be able to encounter God. It's only through Jesus that we are able to have that encounter. Jacob felt in awe that he had seen the face of God and lived. And he remembered that in the place, in the name he gave to that place. We now have had the face of God revealed to us in human form, in Jesus. And he has gone back to heaven and sent the Spirit to be God on earth for us, to be Emmanuel. God is with us. And it's all because of Jesus. And we are so grateful and worship him for all that he has done for us, so that we can gaze on God's face, we can encounter him, and we can enjoy his presence day by day by day, week by week, year by year, and look to see how he is going to move in power in and through our lives. We look to God to encounter him. We can create special times to encounter him. I want to encourage us to beef up our intentionality, to make decisions to encounter God in these different ways. And when we encounter him, persevere. Don't let go. Go on an adventure in God and see changes within yourself as you go on that adventure. Whatever happens with what we do with the building out there, we as a community will be changed, because we're encountering and intentionally wanting to engage with God at this time. And we're asking God to speak to us as a community, to develop the best plan that he has for us as a community here. I wonder if I have the band to come up now. I want to give time for us to respond. As I said at the beginning, I believe that today is a time for people to encounter God, encounter this living God. The band are going to lead us in a song, which is a prayer, really, kind of asking God to come. And after that, I want to give us some time. I've tried to have some time at the end of the meeting for us to really encounter God, to engage with God this morning. You may have come this morning with a question that you need answering. It may be about a direction in life. It might be a life stage issue. It might be a character issue. You might have been asking God for patience or wisdom or any number of things. I believe that this morning, because you have been wrestling with God over these times, I believe that God this morning is going to give many of us the answer to those questions. And I want us to push in with faith to expect to encounter God. And this morning, we are going to hear some answers for ourselves in those issues that we have. I just want to invite Anna up. Give the mic. Anna just shared a prophetic word just at the end of the worship time. It's just so superbly fitted in, really, with those sentiments. Thanks, Anna.
As I didn't give it straight away, I had time to write some notes down. So it's great, because if you wait, and not like me, you get a bit more sometimes, so I'm really grateful of the chance to share it now. I had a picture of quite a fertile ground, But across that ground were stones, and they were blocking streams. And I was asking God just, you know, to kind of clarify that picture. And so some of the streams were blocked by quite small stones, quite insignificant, and yet they'd kind of got lodged in, and the pressure of the water wasn't enough to just push it straight back out. And for others, they were almost boulder size, and there wasn't enough pressure to push it out. And for some, they were kind of jagged edged, and there wasn't enough pressure to put them out. But I had a sense this morning that God has been kind of raising the pressure. And we were singing about joy in that song, and it's that pressure of joy that pushes out those stones. So the pressure is growing, and I have that sense this morning that there's three particular areas that God wants to increase the pressure and get rid of that stone out of that stream. So one is illness, one is relationship, and one is a sense of disappointment. And particularly if you've been a Christian for a while, sometimes that sense of disappointment can grow, and it can just lodge in what should otherwise be an amazingly fertile ground for God. And just at the end, I had that sense that for some people, it's almost like the stone was going to be gone, and you didn't even know where it was. It'd gone, just gone completely. And I think in terms of illness, some of that for this morning is that it will be gone completely. And for others, the stone had been rolled away, but it was still sitting there. The incredible difference was that it was allowing the streams of living water to flow fully over this fertile ground. And it might be that for another day, it is taken away for completely. But God wants us to be an effective, beautiful church that doesn't have stones blocking up living water.
Thanks, Anna. Great. So why don't we stand? Why don't we stand? Often when we receive answers to prayer, it may not be an audible voice of God, but rather it might be a sense that things happen. Think a stone has moved, to use Anna's picture. It may be a sense of great peace as you are trying to weigh up maybe two decisions, and God just gives you a peace over that decision. So we're just going to go into this song. This is our prayer to God, a prayer of an engagement with Him. And then I'll lead us in prayer as we follow that.